Thank you, Bren, for reading our scripture. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Who am I? Sorry to start so existential this morning. Who am I? A question we have all asked ourselves at some point. Only three words, but how difficult it is to answer. Our lives are constantly changing, and so the answer seems to always be changing too. This simple question is more complicated when those things we often define ourselves with fall away or changes. The teacher that no longer teaches, the child that moves on campus away from home, the parent that is an empty nester, a medical condition that changes how we move and how we function, a change to our income, and with it, a change to our lifestyle. All of these may be moments where we intentionally pause to say, who am I today? And it can be a scary question, especially if it comes at a time or in a moment where you have nothing else to grab onto, and you don't have those deep roots, but shallow roots that pull up easily. Just the other day, as I was weeding the garden, I came across this plant I had never seen before, and I didn't plant it, and I'm hoping and still hoping my mother-in-law did not plant it, but it appeared like a generic weed, and I went to go pull it, hoping for the satisfaction of having the roots and all. But whatever plant that was, I pulled and pulled and could not get it out of the ground, and eventually just had to relent and had to be satisfied with cutting the root. I will see that plant again, right? The deepest roots are the most resilient. At the heart of Psalm 8, literally the center of the psalm, is this lingering question, who am I? Who are we as humankind? The psalmist has intentionally structured this hymn in a chiastic form, which is a pattern that itself points to how the psalmist invites us to answer this very human question. And this form is sort of like a sandwich. The first is the psalmist praises God. How majestic is your name throughout the earth, which is also the very last verse in the psalm. Second, they recount God's works. Your fingers made the moon and the stars. And then, only when they feel small and insignificant, the psalmist asks, who are we as humankind that you remember us and that you visit us? For the psalmist to know they are human begins not to ask the question, who am I, but who is God? What is God doing in my life? These are those deep roots that the psalmist is getting at. And there is no Sunday or time of the year more fitting to go deeper into who God is than today. We are fresh off of 7 weeks of Easter, thinking about and celebrating that death may have won for 3 nights in that tomb, but the resurrection and compassion of grace and love we call Christ has lived ever since. Last week, we celebrated Pentecost and the power of the Holy Spirit that moves us and moves within us to create God's mosaic of shalom and peace. And as we have been worshiping in this building, we know that there are flowers blooming outside. Vegetables are growing, fruit is becoming ripe, and we are assured that the Creator is still creating. Today, we bring all of that together. Creator, Christ, and Holy Spirit, together we celebrate the Trinity, for together they are God. So what better Sunday than this one? And I want to begin with a quote, or poem, from William Paul Young. He's the author of The Shack. And he says, talks about the Trinity in this way. One alone is not by nature love, or laugh, or sing. One alone may be prime mover, unknowable, indivisible, all, and everything is all, and all is one. One is alone, self-centered, not love, not laugh, not sing. Two, yin and yang, dark and light, male and female, contending dualism, affirming evil and good, and striving toward balance, at best, face to face, but never community. Three, face to face to face, community, ambiguity, mystery, love for the other and for the other's love. Within, other-centered, self-giving, loving, singing, laughter, and from the three, a fourth is created, ever-loved and loving. What Young is getting is that the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is not one which is self-centered or two which is dualistic and tribal. We could probably think of some of those things in our lives. But three, God is community itself. And as perfect community and through their relationship are able to laugh and dance and, more importantly, love. So when we say God is love, it's not this Hallmark card love or the way we love our stuff. But God is a communal sense of love where each belongs and shares its gift with the rest. And Young puts it so beautifully that this community of love, there is truly belonging. And so he writes that from the three, a fourth is created. That it is a community that affects others around it. And that fourth is us. That's our neighbor. That could be our enemy. In fact, Jesus' ministry is an invitation to sing and laugh and love in this holy community so much that it pours out onto others in the world and invites all people, including the hungry, the naked, the imprisoned, who take center stage. Jesus reveals that what happens when we move with God, when we dance and sing and pray with God, and what happens is we begin to move like God. We are transformed. Our words, our actions reflect our relationship with God. And so the psalmist finds their answer. You have made us, you have designed us to be just slightly less than the divine. In other words, we were made not to be in community, but we are made to move in community with God. And once we dance with the three, we are forever changed. We don't walk our own path. We don't try to save ourselves. We don't try to think about only ourselves, but we move together. This is who we are. These are deep and resilient roots that remain and nourish us. Recently, Jessica and I took a walk around the neighborhood here. And someone we had met on a few occasions dropped what she was doing to talk to us. She knows I'm the pastor, so she hopped up from her garden bed saying, "I was hoping to run into you." It's like, ooh. Our conversations have always been nice. We talk about the kids, they're growing up. We talk about the weather. We talk about what's going on in her life. And she said, "I've been meaning to ask you about the flag." And I waited, because there was no question, and I assumed it wasn't about the American flag or the Christian flag. And I said, about why we have the pride flag up. She nodded. She said, I don't like it. Makes me upset. I don't know why you promote that, especially against what the Bible says. And she went on to say that she has a granddaughter who is gay, and then used the phrase that is all too common and all too painful, to love the sinner and not the sin. Some of you have found yourself in a similar conversation, perhaps at work or at the family dinner table. Perhaps you have entered a conversation that was a different topic, but no less heavy and difficult to navigate. What do I say? How do I respond? And there may even be this fight or flight feeling that comes to the surface, right? And we may forget the roots of who we are. We could, I suppose, not respond, right? Why engage? Why stir the pot? Just change the subject. That is a choice that one could make. It is a choice of privilege, of someone who is able to walk away, where nothing really changes in their life. This is a privilege many pushed to the margins do not have. We could not respond, but is that who we are with God? Is that us moving like God? Is that modeling belonging and community of God? Or is that us protecting our comfort, our reputation? I would dare say if we are truly dancing and singing and loving with God, we can't be silent. As risky as it may be, and it is risky, we can't be silent when others are excluded and made less safe. And so with grace, we listen to her. We listen to her say, love the sinner and not the sin. And I have no doubt that she is a wonderful grandmother. I believed her when she said that she loves her granddaughter. I believed her and agreed with her when she said God is love, but couldn't be silent. I met her where she was. I shared that those problematic scripture verses were few and not within the context of how we may understand homosexuality today. And then I invited her to think about the countless places where God's love and grace breaks all bounds and divisions, which there are a lot more of those. And we even told her about experiences of those in the LGBTQIA community, people we know that were abused verbally or physically for who they were, sometimes in pews. And so for us, the flag means all God's children are beloved, not meant to be tolerated, but to be celebrated, free to laugh and sing in community. And I wish I could say it changed her mind, right? I wish. I would like to think that I planted a seed, that we made a difference, but that's not the place that gave me nourishment that day. But it's who God is. 3, face to face to face. Community, ambiguity, mystery, love for the other and for the other's love. Within is other-centered, self-giving, loving, singing, laughter. And from the 3, a fourth. From the 4th, a family. From a family, a church. A way of being and living God's ways together. Amen. Amen.